I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the Mom Hour, and I am Sarah Powers. It's just me today because this is one of our episodes in the Mom Hour Voices interview series. And in a couple of minutes, I'll be joined by my guest today, Leslie Miller from the Coffee and Crumbs podcast. Leslie is a mom of three little ones, as well as a writer and podcaster. If that sounds familiar, it's because she and I have a lot in common about our motherhood stories and kind of the trajectory they've taken. So I can't wait for you to hear my conversation with Leslie from Coffee and Crumbs. First up, though, I want to thank Opinion Outpost for sponsoring this episode. So you guys know market research is a $50 billion a year industry, and companies need input from real people like you before they launch new products and services. So that's where Opinion Outpost comes in. Opinion Outpost connects companies with people like you through online surveys that give you the chance to tell those companies how you think and feel about really everything from new products and advertising to social issues. And we all know that mom's opinion matters most, right? So here's the cool part. Opinion Outpost rewards you for taking surveys. You can earn cash, iTunes and Amazon gift cards, and more. So many of our listeners have told us that they're looking for ways to bring in a little more money for their families, and this is a perfect fit for moms who want to do something from home on their own time. Surveys are accessible 24/7, so you can participate whenever you'd like. Also, your personal information remains private and secure with Opinion Outpost, and it's free to sign up, so no credit card required, and you can earn actual money just by sharing your opinion. You can sign up today at opinionoutpost.com/mom and make your voice heard and start earning those rewards. So that's opinionoutpost.com/MOM. And we thank them for sponsoring this episode of the Mom Hour. Okay, guys, let's get right into my conversation with Leslie Miller from the Coffee and Crumbs podcast.
Hi, Leslie. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. I'm so excited to finally get to chat with you on your show.
I know. I'm really excited about this, too. So for our listeners who don't know you, just tell us a little bit about your family, where your kids are in their ages, and where you guys live, and a little bit. Just introduce us to you.
Sure. So I'm married to Jonathan, and we have been married for 12 years this summer, and we have our home now in Santa Barbara. We actually met here and fell in love here in Santa Barbara and then left for a number of years and then found our way back, which we love because we were always hoping to return back here. So we had our first two kids in Sacramento. Anna is now 6 and Owen is now 4. And then we've had our third baby when we were here in Santa Barbara, Luke, and he is 1.
Well, if this is sounding kind of familiar to our listeners, I grew up in Santa Barbara, and you and I have some fun parallels between us. So I grew up in Santa Barbara. You grew up down here where I live now in Orange County, and we've kind of swapped.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes.
And then also our kids' ages are really similarly spaced. So I am just about three and a half years ahead of where you are. And so we've had fun talking about that as we've gotten to know each other and on the Coffee and Crumbs podcast when I was your guest. So I think this will be really fun for our listeners because I think our listeners actually have kids probably more your kids' age, a lot of them anyway. So this will be really fun. So Anna is 6, you said. And I want to start with talking a little bit about back to school. We're recording this in September. So school is on a lot of moms' minds, but not everybody, because wouldn't you agree that before you have school age kids, September is just kind of another month?
Oh, yeah. It's just like any other month in the year. And it's funny because I remember until last year, whenever I saw all of the back to school ads and, you know, just the whole back to school push, everybody's photos online, it was like I couldn't really relate because it had been so long since I had actually gone back to school. So it just kind of felt like we lived in this eternal summer for a number of years. Yeah. And then now, you know, we actually are in that rhythm and season.
Yeah, so in that rhythm. So tell me, your 6 and 4 year olds, what's their school situation right now?
So Anna is in first grade and she's going to a little Christian private school that's near our house. And she started there last year as a kindergartner, and she's there until like 2:45 every day. Okay. And then my preschooler, Owen, is at the preschool at our church that we attend, and he goes two mornings a week.
Okay.
And actually I keep saying mornings, but this year it's actually longer. He's there for their full day from about 8:15 is when I drop him off to about 3 o'clock. So I actually chose to do it that way this year because of the drop-off pickup schedule with our other kids. So,
well, let's talk about this a little, because I know we have a lot of listeners whose kids are starting preschool. Was your preschool pretty flexible about like half day, full day, every day, 3 days a week? I remember thinking when I had my first child going in that there was like a formula that everybody followed, like when your child was three. And I should say, I'm kind of talking to stay-at-home moms in this particular case, not all our listeners are, but if you've been home with your little ones. So I remember thinking, okay, well, when they're three, they do Tuesday, Thursday morning. And when they're four, the following year, they do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then they go to kindergarten. And it took me a while to realize like there's like everywhere in between. So how did that work for you guys?
Yeah.
How did you know what you wanted from that preschool schedule?
That is such a great question. And this is something that I feel like I've tried to bring up to moms that are in that two-year-old, three-year-old stage. Yeah. And they're trying to think about preschool, because I just didn't really ask enough questions when I was in that stage. I felt like it's preschool, like preschool's preschool and we'll just pick a preschool and go. And I just didn't ask a whole lot of questions, because I thought like you that it followed kind of that same, you know, 2 day a week, 3 day a week sort of thing. And a lot of schools do, but a lot of schools don't. Right. And I actually really regret, because I felt like I made a mistake with Anna's 3 year old year of preschool, because I didn't do a whole lot of research, and we ended up having her at a school that it was a great little school, but it was really catered towards full-time stay-at-home moms. And I had just really gotten on a good work schedule where I needed consistent childcare, and the school wasn't a great fit in terms of their flexibility for how they could fit various members of our family's needs. And so by that, I mean, like, you couldn't send your two-year-old, you had to be three, and you had to be potty trained, and you had to go for these specific hours that were from about 8 to 12:30, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like after that first year of schooling for her, that I needed a preschool that had more options and that we could choose which days of the week worked for us. And I, you know, because I work, I felt like, well, I don't want her there Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because a lot of times Mondays and Fridays are holidays. Yeah. And then my work day is gone. So I really, if I'm going to have her there, it needs to be either Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Thursday. But I will do anything to avoid those Monday, Fridays, because I feel like I'm paying for time that I don't oftentimes get. So I've been very strategic about choosing a preschool that just really can work with our family. And the preschool where they are at is, I would say it's kind of like a preschool slash daycare. I mean, they have extended day hours, and some families are there till, you know, 6 at night, or they drop off at 7 in the morning. So
no,
that works for
you
us.
You bring up so many good points. I have actually always been at preschools. I guess we've only had two preschools. We lived in Arizona until my oldest was after her kindergarten year. So she went through all of her preschool years in Arizona. My middle started preschool in Arizona and did his second year here in California. And then I have my third is in preschool here. So in our two preschools, both were very geared toward working families. And I was actually more on the stay at home or work a little from home track. But it was, yes, you're so right that you can get more strategic and know what you need. But when you're brand new to it, you don't always know that those are even an option. And actually, like, side tip for moms is, like, the front office of your preschool may not even say that something is an option. They might not put it on their website. I know our preschool right now really is geared toward working families and doesn't offer a lot of part-time solutions. They do offer mornings, but they encourage 3 days a week right from the beginning, even for three-year-olds, even if you're a stay-at-home mom. And I had a friend who I said, just ask, because we had been there a couple of years, and I said, just ask if they'll do two mornings a week. She just wanted two mornings a week, and she really wanted this school. And of course they did it, you know? So it's kind of like when you're new to it, you don't realize like everything is an option. So I think that's such a good point. So, and the other thing I wanted to follow up on about Luke is, you have a full day of preschool, which isn't that kind of amazing if you've done half days?
Yes. So it is amazing because they nap them there. And I mean, he's still napping. He's four and he's still napping at home sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't. But it's just nice to feel like I still have that nap time hour here at home that I can get stuff done because they're watching him at school. Yes. And then I can just pick up both of the kids at the same time instead of living in my minivan already, which I know is inevitable and in some ways is happening way more than it used to be. But I still am like, if I can avoid having to leave the house at noon, 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, you know, that's really helpful.
So. And I think four is a great year. All of my kids did half days when they were three, and then they've all done something slightly different in that four-year-old like pre-K year. But I really think that that's a great year to start playing around with the full day school schedule. It's not like if they don't get it before kindergarten, they'll still be fine. Kindergartners are tired no matter what, even if they've been prepped. But if you have the option to do even a couple days a week to get them used to that full day schedule, I think it's so nice. And it's so nice for you because like you said, the 8:30 to noon goes by really fast.
It goes by really fast, especially if you're picking up. Because I mean, my situation right now is that my youngest is not preschool age. Right. And so we have him at a separate location. He's at an in-home daycare two mornings a week. And so I have about roughly like 8 hours of childcare with him being covered.
Right.
And he's there with Nancy and she's wonderful and loves him so well. And we've, you know, just really enjoyed that spot for him. But there are, you know, I have three kids at three different locations. Yeah. So I'm spending the money that I'm spending on childcare, I'm using it to drive back and forth to drop kids off at various places. Yeah. So you really got to be strategic with, you know, how you're doing things.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, I want to know what is different about being a quote unquote school mom now that you're a couple years into elementary school and you've done the preschool thing a couple of times. What's different about this phase of life maybe than you imagined? And this could be like, it could be schedule wise. It could be how much you are enjoying it or not enjoying it. But what feels different than maybe you expected it to be about this phase?
You know, a couple of things feel surprising. Mm-hmm. The thing that feels the most surprising this particular fall is that I really miss having Anna around. Mm-hmm. And that surprised me. It sounds funny to say that I miss, you know, having my kid around. Of course, in some ways, of course, that's the case. But in other ways, I always felt like, when they were really young, and I still have two that are really young, it was like, well, once they're at kindergarten and first grade, it's going to feel like such a relief. And it does feel like a relief in some ways that I can go grocery shopping with just two of them or just one of them some days. But in other ways, it just feels like she's gone a long time. And when she comes back at three and we're scrambling to do a soccer practice or some homework, it just feels like there's not a whole lot of time to just snuggle or give her a hug or just those natural moments that we had when she wasn't in school all day. Yeah. So I've been surprised by that. Just how much it's just a long day for both of us, for her and I.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And then I guess the other thing is just feeling like I've really stepped into that. I don't know how else to put it other than like legit mom status. Yeah. So
I totally know what you
mean. It's like, I think I was thinking about it and trying to figure out why is that the case? And my only theory is like, I don't have any memories of my own childhood between really the ages of 0 and 4. I mean, those, you just don't remember a whole lot. And so when I think about my own mom and mother, me, it's from when I was in like elementary school or those most formative years. So now to have an elementary schooler and to realize like I'm doing all the things that my mom, I have got the minivan and we're doing the soccer practice and like I'm doing all these legit mom things. And like, how did this happen? I went from baby toddler mom to a mom of an elementary schooler and it's just different.
I think that is such a good point. And I think that's really true, is a lot of it has to do with our own memories and maybe a little bit of like TV and movies and media too. Cause I feel like there's a little bit clearer cliche out there about like the mom of elementary schoolers than maybe there is about mom of tiny little kids. So maybe that's some of it too, but I think you're right. So on that note, did you find it intimidating at all going into, let's talk about like the elementary school years. Cause I found it intimidating, like everything from being expected to volunteer to joining PTA to like seeing these other moms. For me, it put me right back in new mom phase where like you think everyone else has it figured out and we all learn that they don't, but you just thought they did. I find that happens again sometimes, especially going into the elementary school years, because the schools are bigger, they have systems, and it seems like the other moms know how everything works and have their you know what together, and you're kind of right back down at the bottom of the pecking order. Did you go through that at all?
Yeah, a little bit last year especially, and still this year too, because it's the first year she's doing a full day. Her kindergarten was till noon, and so now she's there's a mom that I just love, and she has, I think her oldest is maybe in fifth grade, so they've been at the school for a while, and she'll see me and just give me little tips like, roll down your window, you're in the wrong lane for carpool, or like, if you really want to get her quickly, you need to park right there, that's the spot, you know. And I just appreciate that, like, someone's totally taking care of me because I don't know what I'm doing. So it's definitely very different from preschool and the preschool years. I think that I just feel the weight of, like, that it's real school, and yeah, the accountability that exists now that has never existed before.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, the only other person really checking in on us from the age of baby to five was your pediatrician, you right. know, and kind of check in the growth charts once a year, and right. are they doing all the things they're supposed to be doing? But now we have someone checking in, you know, watching her, and yeah. there's things that are due. And so it just feels like there's a little bit of a weight to that, and definitely a lot more paperwork and dates yes. and schedules and Same. Activities and things. Yes. Play dates and all of that. It just feels like I'm more of like the family manager than I ever have been.
Yeah. So I think that's, and I found it most challenging when I only had one in that world and two who weren't. And it's gotten easier and easier and easier the more that just is my, so now I have two in elementary school, one in the final year of preschool. And so it feels easier, I think, when that's my whole world rather than all of a sudden your oldest is there, and it just hasn't been, it's a little jarring.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, even just because I do feel like I'm still split between baby phase, yeah. preschool phase, and now elementary school phase. Totally. We're in three very different phases of our children's lives, and that just, yeah, there's just a lot of various needs going on all the time.
Agreed. So I also had a baby when my oldest was in kindergarten, which was your situation last mm-hmm. year. And I pretty much, I was lucky. We were at a small charter school in Arizona. It was very nurturing. I felt really great about the teacher. And I think Violet was, she would have been about 7 months when the school year started. So she wasn't a brand new baby, but, you know, mm-hmm. 7 months to a little over a year over the course of that kindergarten year. But I pretty much didn't do much volunteering, or like, I didn't go to the Friday flag salute. I just kind of gave myself permission to not, but I know yeah. other moms really struggle with that, and almost do the opposite, which is prioritize the kindergartner or the elementary schooler and make sure that childcare is handled for the baby. I don't know why. It just felt easier for me to be like, good luck in kindergarten.
Yeah.
you're an easy kid. Your teacher seems great. I'm out.
Like, you're fine.
You know, but I'm curious if that has come up with you, since you do have a little one at home. Have you felt kind of yeah. the pressure to volunteer, or just not pressure necessarily, but just the desire to be in two places at once?
Yeah. Well, yes. If I had it my way, I would have picked what you did, yeah. which was like, essentially, there's plenty of years to be in the kindergarten classroom. I have two more children that exactly. are going to be coming through. So like, let's just slow down and not be overeager. Like, that would be my advice to anyone listening, is if you have multiple children, there's plenty of time.
Yeah.
We are at a school that requires us to volunteer. So we're at a private school, and they, to keep tuition costs down and to make it affordable for families, mm-hmm. Every family has to volunteer depending on the number of kids you have. So we have 6 volunteer hours that we have to do per month. And okay. when we said yes to the school and decided that was what we wanted to do for Anna, I didn't weigh what volunteering would look like, or really even consider that as a factor. When we were deciding what to do.
Right.
And then once the school year started and I realized, oh, I have a newborn right. and 2 other kids and I'm supposed to be volunteering. I mean, how am I going to yeah. do this? And it was a huge source of stress for me last yeah. year. And fortunately you could choose to pay for those hours if you couldn't be okay. there. So we could, you know, pay a certain yeah. amount, you could buy out, which kind of makes sense. Cause if yeah. the other alternative is to get a babysitter, well yeah. then, you know, it's like, it kind of made sense. So yeah. we kind of, each month we would do like half of our yeah. hours, or, you know, 4 of the hours, and then pay for the others, because it was just very stressful. So this year is different with her in first grade. I am choosing to use an hour of my work time each week to be in the classroom, and I'm actually helping teaching Spanish, which is really funny because I only know basic Spanish. So, which, you know, is all you need to know if you're teaching basic Spanish.
First
I know more than they do.
I love that.
So,
it takes time to kind of figure out what your role is. So I love that. Well, we're going to move on from school stuff, but any other little tips or advice for moms who maybe are just starting out with a new preschool or a new elementary school this year? Any words of encouragement?
I would say just to be careful with the number of commitments that you take on, whether it's volunteering or whether it's just other volunteer, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be even volunteering at school. A lot of times moms, stay-at-home moms, are involved with other committees or things at church, right, or whatever. And I was overcommitted last year and just nearly cost me a, you know, nervous breakdown. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I was stressed out, really stressed out. Yeah. So be careful with how many commitments you take on.
It's so much easier to fill up that time than it is to unfill it once you're committed. And I love what you said about there being, there's time for all of that. If you're at the very beginning, with my kids where they are, I am starting to take on more volunteer roles and stuff, but this is years in. My oldest is in fourth grade. So I kind of feel like I'm paying it forward to the moms who are saying no because they have a full-time job and a baby at home and whatever else. I feel like I'm now in a position to free them up. I wish I could find one and just say, look, you don't have to do anything this year because I was you and I didn't do anything that year.
Yeah.
And I can. So we can all, you know, opt in and out as makes sense. So,
yeah, I think the other thing I would say too is just like to be open-minded about schooling options for your kids too. And we talked about that a little bit with preschool, but just to be, to talk to people and to be open-minded about, you know, weighing private school, public school, charter school, all of those things. And, you know, you might be surprised at where you end up with each of your kids.
And I bet you and I are similar, Leslie, in that sometimes we decide what we've like figured out before we've really thought through everything. Cause we've, you know, done the homework, checked the boxes and like, okay, this is what we're doing. And then sometimes it takes a learning experience like you had with preschool to be like, oh, there are some things I maybe could have considered. So I think that's great advice. Also for our listeners, I will link up in the show notes. Megan and I did an episode a long time ago about choosing schools. And between Megan and me, I think we've had every homeschool, charter school, private school, like literally everything. So listeners who want to go back and listen to more of this type of conversation, that was a good one. And I will link it up in the show notes. So, okay, so let's move on. We're going to kind of keep going with this idea of balance and stuff, but let's talk about your creative and work life. And I know you a little bit, but our listeners don't. So tell everybody kind of what that looks like for you. You're home with your kids, but you work some. So tell everybody what that work is and maybe about how many hours per week or what that looks like.
Sure. So yes, so I mentioned earlier, I have about 8 hours of paid childcare for Luke, which means that a lot of the work that I do happens in those hours, or it happens on the evenings and weekends, which is kind of the case for any woman that works part-time for home or has a flexible job.
Right.
My jobs have looked very different year to year. Right now, I would say that probably my full-time work is the podcast and several little side projects with writing. So contributing to Coffee and Crumbs and doing a little bit of freelance writing here and there. But for the most part, it's the podcast. And I'm trying to think of some of the other things that I've done in the last few years, but I've done everything from contributing to books to working as a magazine editor to doing freelance for nonprofits and corporate organizations. And the podcast has been kind of just a fun, what started as a fun hobby has now become kind of a job. So I think that one of the things that has surprised me the most about really since I had kids and have done a lot of different things is that every season has looked very different.
Yes.
Especially after I've had each baby, I've changed my mind about things or had to rework my schedule. So the podcast has been great.
It's so funny how similar like our backgrounds are in this regard with like writing, turning into podcasting. Would you say like how many hours would you say as things have ebbed and flowed over the years? Have you been going out to find work to fill a part-time schedule, or have you sort of been responding to opportunities that come to you and saying yes or no, depending on if you have the bandwidth?
Both.
Okay.
I would say you know, we've been talking about this a lot. Ashley and I have been talking about this a lot because we want to do an episode at some point about women that work part-time from home. Mm-hmm. And in that conversation, as I've been kind of thinking it, I'm realizing like I'm speaking out of a huge place of privilege because I'm in the position where my husband works a full-time job that is able to cover our family needs and finances.
Absolutely.
And so that, I mean, I just have to say that first for women that are listening because it doesn't feel fair not to.
I agree.
That said, it would be a lot easier for us to live in the expensive beach town that we live in if I was working full time. So there is some sacrifices that we've also chosen to make in order for me to pursue creative work rather than doing the work that I was doing before I had kids, which was working in marketing, which would be more lucrative and would be more consistent in terms of hours. So I think that in some ways it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that I'm doing what I'm doing. And yet there's a creative side of me that just, I think, wouldn't be fulfilled and wouldn't be able to be home with my kids and enjoy them as much as I do if I didn't have a way and an outlet to pursue the millions of ideas that are always going through my brain. I always have new ideas I'm wanting to try and pursue in all these variety of mediums, blogging and writing and podcasting or, you know, starting companies or whatever. So we've done a lot of different creative things. And one of the things that we also do right now in order to kind of help supplement my, you know, little meager artist salary is that we own a side business that is not related to my creative work at all. And I manage that a couple hours each week. And it's kind of like semi-passive income that, that really allows me to kind of do what we do. So I guess the long story short is we've tried to be really creative and be okay with making some sacrifices in order for me to pursue this work. And sometimes the work has come easily to me and I have felt like the magazine position, for instance, and it was amazing and I loved it and it made decent money. And then the magazine folded and it was done. And then I was in a place where I was having to go out and look for work. Right. And so it's really been, to be quite honest, a very emotional process over the last 5 or 6 years where sometimes it's been the highest of highs. And I've also had just the lowest of lows when it comes to my creative work.
Well, I so appreciate a bunch of things about what you just said. Megan and I have also said on this podcast before that sort of, you know, the disclaimer of privilege that everybody's coming to their work life motherhood balance from a different place. And we have listeners who work full time who wish they didn't have to. We also have listeners who are home full time who really would like to have something more income and more fulfillment. So we just honor everybody's place of where they're coming from. And I'm in the same position as you. I've had the privilege of figuring out what a flexible work life looks for me over the last several years. And it does come from a place of privilege, and it can create, it is almost more pressure in some ways to figure out like, okay, well now this is taking me away from my kids maybe more than I'm like, I'd like, do I scale back or do I get used to it? So, you know, it's so, there's so much gray area. So I just appreciate your honesty and everything you just said about that. And I just relate to so much. Well, I'm not done with this topic, but we are going to take a real quick break to tell our listeners about one of our sponsors, and we will come back in just a minute.
Okay, guys, have you heard about FabFitFun? FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. With FabFitFun, you get a box of these full-size products 4 times a year, so seasonally put together, beautiful packaging, so much fun to get in the mail. You can indulge in fashion, beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products from top brands like Michael Stars, Dr. Brandt, Millie, and more. Every FabFitFun box has a value of over $200. Normally retails for $49.99, which is a great deal on all those products equaling a $200 value, but we've got a promo code for you to save $10 on your first box, making it just $39.99 when you use promo code TheMomHour. So again, head to FabFitFun.com, use promo code TheMomHour when you order your box, and I can't wait to show you my fall box. It just arrived. Check our social media channels next week because I'm going to do a fun little unboxing video and show you guys what is in the fall box. Their seasonal boxes do sell out, so again, treat yourself. Go to FabFitFun.com, use promo code TheMomHour, and save $10 on your first box. Thanks, guys.
Okay, I'm back with Leslie from the Coffee and Crumbs podcast, and we're talking about creative work and work that we do from home and all of the great things that come along with that and some of the challenges. I'm curious, Leslie, you said that you always have a million ideas, and I'm curious how you handle seasons of life, like right after a new baby or just when everything is full up, when the quantity of ideas exceeds the bandwidth for realizing them. Are you a journaler? Do you have like creative colleagues that you can brainstorm with? I know this is a challenge for a lot of women.
It is. And yes, I always have way too many ideas and not enough basically not enough childcare time is what it comes down to.
It's not enough time. It's not enough time. Children are not here.
Where they're not here. And the hardest part with that is that I would consider myself an introvert, and I would say that I am just in my own head a lot. Mm-hmm. So it is not uncommon for me to all of a sudden snap at the kids, and they all look at me kind of like, why did you snap at me? And I realize, oh, it's because I've totally been sitting here just thinking through like what my next essay is going to be about or what the next big idea is. And so I do have to find systems and ways to kind of write those things down or put some of them aside or know when the appropriate time is to brainstorm them with someone else, because I can quickly just be very lost in my own thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I have all kinds of notes on my cell phone in my notes section that I'm writing things down with big question marks of, do I want to pursue this or not? And I would say, there's a couple different groups of women writers, mm-hmm. the Coffee and Crumbs writers being one, and then I'm in a group called the Redbud Writers Guild. And those are two groups that I feel like I have really have been very beneficial to me and that I've used for their ideas and talents and resources and just bouncing ideas off to kind of figure out what to do next. So, and there have been times where I have come up with ideas and mentioned them to someone, and very lovingly, they have said, that sounds like a great idea, but I don't think that you have the time for that. Or I don't think that that's something that you should pursue right now.
I have said that to people before. I tend to be, I think of myself as not as ambitious. Like, I tend to be someone who hunkers down and can get really immersed in the details of what's already on my plate. If anything, I tend to overperform on what's already on my plate. So I don't have the creative ambition problem that a lot of creative people do. But just having been around so many people like that, I relate to those conversations where it's like, this might be for another time, another season. I love that. What about, I'm curious, a lot of our listeners have shared with us that they feel like there's something creative that they want to be doing, and they're not sure what that will look like for them. I know you're a writer and I'm a writer. So for me, like, if I were to do more of something, that's probably what it would be. But has this come up for you, or do you ever like have ideas that are not even writing or podcasting related? Like, you want, I know you recently ran a race, or, you know, knit a blanket, or did that happen to you, or is that on your radar at all for other women?
I feel like there's always, I mean, because even the podcast, I would consider myself a writer first and foremost, but yet I'm spending the majority of my time right now podcasting. And I think what's interesting to me about that is that in some ways it was a very conscious choice, because I felt like for me as a writer, I need big chunks of time to actually make progress. I wish that wasn't the case. I wish I was someone that could just spend 10 minutes and jot down my thoughts and then pick it back up 10 minutes, you know, later, and not be okay with interruption, but that's just not the case for me. And so because of our current work life children schedule, it feels like podcasting is a better fit, because I can fit 10 minutes in here and 10 minutes in there, but I'm still able to be creative with, I'm still able to use my creativity.
Yeah.
And it just looks a little different, I guess.
Yeah. No, I love that. And sometimes those things come to us in a fortunate way. I love that the internet is allowing for Facebook groups and just networking groups and creative collections of people who just want to be creative. I feel like this is sort of a newer idea of creativity as just a general life value and not like one particular pursuit, photography or writing, or, you know what I mean? So I think that's a good thing for moms out there who want to be creative and aren't sure how yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we tend to sometimes think of creativity as like crafts, or at least that's what comes to mind to me first, is like, oh, if you're creative, then you're like a really crafty person, or you're able to, you know, make your house look really nice. But creativity looks so different from person to person.
I agree. So what's the best part about being involved in the work you do, the podcasting, the writing? What's the thing that you just love when you get up in the morning and have a work day ahead of you?
I think that it's being able to use a side of my brain and heart that I don't get to use with my kids, which seems so simple, but I think that I love being able to see thoughts come across the paper on the screen that make cohesive sense, and that at the end of the day, that project is done and it stays done, whereas so much with motherhood gets undone day after day. And so it feels like to be able to take this swarm of thoughts and ideas in my head that's always been there since I was little and is going, and actually get it out somehow and be able to look at it and see it being done, there's some kind of satisfaction there that I need. So
I love that. That's a great answer. What about, what's the hardest part? We've kind of touched on a few maybe, but
yeah, probably the guilt that can come with pursuing my passions when there are so many needs around here, and the guilt that can come that a lot of times my passions don't make a lot of money, but we have children that we need to pay for childcare. And so there's always that balance with figuring out, like, is it really worth it what I'm trying to pursue here?
Yeah.
And then, you know, because of that and trying to be mindful of the fact that, you know, the kids need me and are young, I do end up working a lot evenings and weekends. And so sometimes I can feel really stretched way too thin.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you can relate to.
Yeah, I totally can. And I can't remember which, but recently on an episode, Megan and I were talking about kind of back to school being like the new year, like happy new year for moms, because we're all kind of have new goals. And I was really honest that my mothering job has gotten easier and easier because my kids are getting older, and I have been relentless about filling that with more and more work, which in the beginning was really fun and engaging, and, you know, also just it coincided with the growth of the business that Megan and I are building. But at the same time, I'm like, well, now I have kids in school quite a bit, and I am working every single minute that they are out of the house, and I never really stopped to like evaluate that and say, like, is this what I wanted? So it is, where, you know, when you're fitting it in nap times and evenings and weekends, there is, I mean, it's like the cliche, but there's no clocking out. It's just always there. And so it's very easy for that to fill every available empty space, I guess, is one of the challenges for me, because for so long there wasn't very much empty space. So I had to use every second, and now there's more, and I'm like, oh, maybe.
Maybe I don't have to fill every second.
Exactly. Well, I want to shift to talking about coffee and crumbs, which of course we've, you know, alluded to, but let's talk a little bit more. So for our listeners who aren't already readers and listeners, I have followed the Coffee and Crumbs brand and read essays on the website for a while now, but just recently Megan and I got to hang out with you and Ashley Gadd at Podcast Movement in Anaheim, and really got to know you guys, and it was so much fun. And we were hanging out as podcasters, but I'd also love for you to share with our listeners what the Coffee and Crumbs website is, which really is a collaborative blog to begin with. So can you just tell that story? Sure. Maybe, I know it wasn't your blog that got started, but maybe you can tell the story of how it got started and how you were involved and just what it is.
Yeah. Yes. Which, side note, it was so fun to hang out with you guys last week and get to hang out in person. I think, Coffee and Crumbs, Ashley and I are good friends from Sacramento. So I used to live there for a number of years, and we were in the same group of friends and shared mutual love of writing and worked in marketing at the time, which you'll often see with a lot of people who I think are creatives and now doing their own side businesses. They've got that, you know, a lot of times. Actually wanted to create a blog for moms that was a collaborative blog to offer just a variety of experiences around motherhood, and recognizing that every motherhood journey looks a little different, and yet oftentimes we can see universal themes in each other's experiences that we can find encouraging. And so she decided to start the blog in, I think, 2014, right before she had her second baby, and invited a group of women that she knew from, some that she knew like me in person, and others that she had just read their work online and appreciated the work that they were putting out. And so she extended that invite to about 10 people. And so we started with just regular writers, and then very quickly started adding guest submissions. And so the site now has essays 3 times a week and is open for submissions a few times a year. We accept guest submissions. And then the podcast spun off in 2016. 16, and we're in our second season. And there's also been the addition of a book this last year called The Magic of Motherhood, which was so fun for all of us to work on. It was a dream come true for all of us to be able to see our words in actual physical print. So that was really fun. And we now have another side project called The Year of Creativity. And it's a group of women that basically are doing a full year of creative prompts and writing exercises from all of us writers. So that's also kind of fun and different.
That's so cool. Well, what I noticed from the outside being a little different about Coffee and Crumbs is the really narrative essay style. So, I mean, Megan blogged from like back in the olden days, and I jumped on the bandwagon circa 2010. And I feel like right when you guys launched was when things had kind of officially shifted to, I want to say, like a lot more image driven, Pinterest driven stuff, or lists and service pieces that were much more like either how to's or funny lists, but a lot less essay style blogging, right. Which is, I know, what drew Megan into blogging and me into blogging. And I feel like that kind of fell off the radar. So I love that there is this thriving place where these are stories and they're beautifully written. I almost feel like it's like a slower pace to consuming that kind of media. That's how I feel like when I look at your site and when I read something. And that's not to knock other, there's lots of forms of online media that are great for moms and informative. So it's not to knock any other style. I just think it's sort of unique what you guys have done. And its success tells me that there are still moms out there who want to read a beautifully written motherhood essay, which is, honestly, is what drew me into this world years and years ago. Before I was even writing for it, I was reading those types of essays. So I love that it is still there and still thriving, and then it turned into a book. So for our listeners who don't know, what is the URL? I'll just have you say it so I don't mess it up, but it's coffeeandcrumbs.net. Okay. And of course we'll link that in the show notes. So if you're not familiar, beautifully written essays. Okay. And then it turned into a podcast, and the podcast is a little bit your baby, correct? You're the main host and then you rotate co-hosts, is that how?
Yeah. So, so there's three of us that co-host, and I'm always on there, and Ashley and April kind of take turns. And a lot of times we'll do episodes with all three of us together, depending on people's schedule. So,
It is really fun to listen to. I listened to a couple of recent episodes. You had Jen Hatmaker on, who was a really fun interview. And I was just listening to this latest one where you and Ashley talked a little bit about some of the same, school topics that you and I touched on. So, I think all of our listeners are listening to your podcast, but if there are any out there who aren't, definitely go check that out. What has surprised you most about podcasting as opposed to writing?
I think I've been surprised at how much I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I had no idea what to expect, because I didn't really talk to anyone that was doing it before we jumped in, and I did tons of research, but didn't actually discuss with, I didn't know anyone who was podcasting. So I've been surprised at how much I've enjoyed it. I've been surprised at how much work it is. I kind of anticipated that it would be, but it definitely is. It takes a lot of time. Right. And I've also been surprised at just how much people like it and like the work that we're producing. I think that with any creative endeavor that I've ever done, the motivation has never been like, I want to create an award-winning podcast, or I want to create, you know, essays that are going to be shared 100 million times on the New York Times. If those things happen, you know, great. But it's always been, I want to fulfill some kind of creative burning desire in my body that I just can't get rid of. And I love being able to try a new medium. So that's kind of why I got into podcasting. And so it's been fun to have a nice reception and to know that people are listening and that they enjoy it.
I love that. And I think, I know Megan and I found, having come from writing first, that the kinds of people who listen and engage with you in the podcasting world just are, they're more engaged, I would say, than people who read a blog post. And I think that's partly the way we consume podcasts. Like maybe we're on a walk or we're driving in our car, and it's a little bit more like you're actually spending time with that person as opposed to reading a blog post on a screen. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you guys have found that too. It just seems like the people who listen are really listening as opposed to, you know, scrolling.
Yes. I get the sense that they come back episode after episode and that they really feel like they know us, and they probably do more so than reading any of our essays. I mean, the audible voice is such a powerful form of communication, and we can get a lot across in a short amount of time. And so it is sweet to meet people that are listening and to hear that they feel like they've connected with us. And that is our hope, that people feel, you know, a deep connection to what we're putting out there.
I love that. Well, we are going to wrap up and remind our listeners where to find and follow you. So coffeeandcrumbs.net is where to find anything more about Coffee and Crumbs and the podcast. You can also search for the Coffee and Crumbs podcast anywhere you find podcasts. And how about social media? Do you want to draw people anywhere to your social profiles or Coffee and Crumbs? Where can they find you?
Sure. I'm on Instagram as Leslie Miller, and Coffee and Crumbs is also on Instagram as Coffee and Crumbs, and Coffee and Crumbs has a great Instagram feed.
Yes, it does.
I would say I'm pretty boring on Instagram. I mean, there's nothing, I don't have the eye for beauty and photography. So my photos are just snapshots I've taken of my kids and, you know, stuff that we're doing, but Coffee and Crumbs is a really pretty Instagram feed and site to look at. And Coffee and Crumbs is on Facebook and Twitter as well as Coffee and Crumbs. So you can find us kind of everywhere. And then I have a personal blog too that I very occasionally update. So lesliem.com
okay,
is where you can find some of my stuff.
Well, we will link to those in the show notes for our listeners. Show notes are always at themomhour.com. This was episode 17 in our Mom Hour Voices series, which is what we call our interview series. So Leslie, thank you so much for taking time. I know you had napping babies and work schedules, and I'm just so appreciative that you took the time to be with us.
It is such a pleasure. And thank you for just kind of leading the way for me with three kids and telling me what I have to look forward to next. It's really a pleasure to always spend time with you and to kind of see what's next for me.
Well, so. I love that. Hopefully we can stay connected a long time, and I'll always be 3 or 4 years ahead of you and tell you what's next.
Yeah. Don't tell me the bad stuff to come. Just tell me the good stuff.
Just the good stuff. Okay. All right. Thanks, Leslie. Bye.
Thanks, Sarah. Bye.